Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting through People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. Thanks for joining, and we do have a donate button at the station, guys, so if you like what we're doing and some of the content we're bringing, please hit the donate button. I know the station and people over there would really appreciate the help. Today I'm joined by Mr. Vinny Eastwood, and I kind of been looking forward to this show because Vinny is one of the people that I have a great deal of respect for. The gentleman is spot on in his analysis, and I applaud him for what he's doing right now to try and get people to see what's going on in this crazy world we're in. Thanks for joining me, Vinny. Always a pleasure.
Welcome. Thanks, to the Barb. Show. I am pretty anal about my analysis and my analogies, but Yeah, it's been a bit of a crazy time, I think, this whole thing, you know, getting visited by the cops five times and having a YouTube channel reported a number of times and having videos pulled or being censored in real time. You know, it's uncharted territory for me, you know. I mean, I'm just a douchebag journalist on the other end of a microphone, that kind of thing. So it can be like a little bit kind of frightening when the long arm of the law does come to you, especially when it's like right after interviewing Christopher Bolin and what happened to him directly after 9/11 when he was reporting the truth about that, when the cops like pinned him down on the ground and I think they dislocated his shoulder or fractured his arm or something like that. Completely it was just really horrible. So that whole chilling effect and the fear and what have you of this whole scenario has really been getting to me. And it's not because of a terrorist or a shooter or anything like that. It's because of the goddamn authoritarian government response to the alleged terrorist, the alleged shooter. You know, that's the thing that really worries me. I mean, I've been doing this for 10 years and this is the first time that I've been afraid to open my mouth and say what I think.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people that are experiencing what you're experiencing right now, Vinny. And for the first time, I am seeing my, you know, I'm just a little guy here in the background talking, but my Facebook's being interrupted. I'm having posts taken down. I'm being restricted on access to some sites. We're all seeing it now, and it's just seemed to be ramping up right now. And we know what the end game is, to shut us right up. But we can't do that, unfortunately. We're going to have to keep talking until they completely shut us down, which, you know, could come really soon, than some of the things I see going on. Yeah. They're really ramping up the agenda right now.
Well, I find it very interesting how the New World Order seems to be going into the Endgame agenda, right as Avengers Endgame hits cinemas, you know? It's a crazy world we live in, and it's very synchronistic. And perhaps this is also the reason why a whole bunch of people are getting upset about things lately, like 5G, for instance. And this is the other interesting thing that I want to bring up, is that a rabbit hole is got these clear sides and it's got tunnel vision. So often what people will do is they'll get stuck in a rabbit hole, whether it be flat earth or vaccines or cannabis or anything like that, whether or not there's, you know, validity to a belief or a particular vein of study and what have you is not necessarily what I'm going for. What I'm going for is this interesting, because even in a desert of lies, one might find a grain of truth, right? And you know, that's when I went down to Christchurch and tried to get the real story of things going down there, you know, interviewing eyewitnesses, a survivor, the president of the Al-Noor Mosque. And the grief down there is palpable, man. Like, seriously, the whole city is in this state of kind of shock. And it's very similar to what happened after the earthquake. And interestingly enough, right when the earthquake happened, I think this was in 2011, there were 9 U.S. congressmen here and the head of FEMA. The 9 U.S. congressmen jumped on a plane, the head of FEMA stayed behind, and then the quake hit. And coincidentally, at the time, the New Zealand military, the Navy specifically, were doing disaster recovery relief drills in Lyttelton Harbour, not 15 minutes drive from Christchurch. They had blankets, they had supplies, they had a whole frickin' kit of stuff all ready to go. So coincidental. And then when we have the... And then when we had the Christchurch mosque, the Christchurch multiple mosque massacre, because this happened at two mosques, there wasn't one gunman, there was multiple gunmen. According to the eyewitnesses, and this is just according to the survivor, and this is just according to the president of the mosque. There's multiple shooters. Mm. So when we look at this scenario, we've got to understand that, of course. Empathy, compassion, honesty, these things need to be taken into account immediately. And what was kind of disappointing for me, or at least a little bit hard to deal with, and I've got no judgment for any of my colleagues or anything like that, is how we've immediately jumped on this whole, it's fake, the shooting never happened, nobody died, kind of almost immediately. And that to me was deeply troubling and concerning, because the cops visited my house as a result of people reporting me for having people on my show claiming that it was fake. Okay, like that's how tough the censorship and the chilling effect is essentially making everybody. And I do want to also acknowledge just right now while I remember is we've got our wonderful people in the chat room here who are joining us, and I want to say thank you very much for doing so, because we are simulcasting this on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, on the Vinnie Eastwood YouTube channel, as well as PeoplesInternetRadio.com with Barry Prince. I mean, like, dude, this is cool. We've got like a whole trifecta of stuff going here, and this is actually the first time during this show, I'm sorry to go off topic a little bit, that I've been given access kind of like to the American Freedom Radio live stream. So after this show, the American Freedom Radio live stream, I'm just going to put on some of the pre-recorded archives that I have of my show from this previous week that people will be able to enjoy there. And this is just so Danny Romero at American Freedom Radio, he's going traveling, you know, he's got work to do, he's doing deals and whatever, trying to get a TV network going down there in Santa Cruz. And
well, thanks for joining. Anybody that hasn't been in here before, thanks for joining me today, and Vinny.
Yeah, Brian. Well, it's. I think what's happened, Barry, is that we've approached a crisis of alternative media unity, more or less. And I think that if we're simulcasting and we're sharing platforms and things like that, that gives you access to my audience, and it gives me access to your audience, and that way everybody's a winner in that scenario. And I watched an interesting video yesterday called "Why the Doom of Netflix is Coming." Now, it's not necessarily about Netflix, but this is a conceptual design behind copyright law, is that if you copyright stuff and you have a possessiveness and that kind of thing, and like only this network can carry this show, exclusivity, if you do that, it pisses off the audience, and they don't like your platform anymore, and they'll go elsewhere, usually to BitTorrent. they would rather break the law and steal your content than put up with your BS attempted content control. You know, and I think that that's a big lesson for everybody in the alternative media as well, is that pretty much the audience are the ones who dictate who succeeds in this industry, more or less. Are you speaking the truth? Are you doing the right thing? You know, that kind of thing. But to a large degree, we've got to really pull together, especially now that 5G is being implemented, that we've got Agenda 21 coming out of our ears pretty much in every single sector of society. And, yeah, I think what's happened with this Christchurch mosque massacre is it's really driven us apart, not entirely dissimilarly from how the 9/11 truth movement was fractured and divided and split apart by differing theories and things like that. And instead of people talking about the evidence and having a reasonable, calm discussion and trying to figure out and compare notes and then figure out the truth together as gentlemen, it becomes a name-calling shit fight.
Yeah.
I apologize for that language. I know the language. I'm sorry. It just slipped out. That happens sometimes. But I promise it won't happen again.
Okay. Well, we'll let you go this time, Vinny. But next time we're going to send the police over there and we'll have you arrested, okay? So just so you know. They've already been there. Okay, excuse me. Hey, well, you're right, Vinny, but you know what? The irony of what I see going on right now with media is, you know, last week we had 300 Christians slaughtered in Sri Lanka. 7 churches attacked at 2 hotels, and today we hear nothing about it, but yet we still hear rhetoric going on about Christchurch. I mean, the media's bias out there right now is just so blatantly obvious that they're not covering this story anymore. The same thing's happening in Canada. You know, this SNC-Lavalin scandal, the biggest scandal in Canadian history, has been completely taken off main media, that they're not talking about it at all anymore. So it just shows you really what we're up against right now. We got a pile of problems on our hands, and it seems to be ramping up. I think they're becoming aware of the fact that more and more people are waking up to the agenda, and, of course, the more people wake up, the more people are going to push back. And henceforth, we see them pushing back in multiple ways right now. So we're into interesting times, Vinny. Very interesting times.
You're absolutely right. And what I'm finding that is important here is actually to find these full-on nexuses. So Agenda 21. If anybody says, what's the conspiracy? It's Agenda 21. The conspiracy. And there is only one. It is Agenda 21. It feeds into absolutely everything, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely everything. You got a problem with your council doing something you don't like? Agenda 21. You got a problem with your government passing laws you don't like? Agenda 21. You got a problem with chemtrails going over your head that you don't like? Agenda 21. You got a problem with fluoride in the water? Agenda 21. You got a problem with forced vaccine? Agenda 21. You got a problem with propaganda in the media? Agenda 21. You got a problem with corrupt media? Agenda 21. They've mapped out.
This goes on and on, buddy.
Okay, so and that's what Rosa Corey's work behind the green mask is so instrumental in actually exposing, is that there is actually only one conspiracy, and it is Agenda 21, and it will take over the 21st century, especially if people fight amongst themselves instead of uniting against the United Nations. You see?
Exactly. You know, we're never going to agree on all points, Vinny, but the fact that we're having conversations and that other people are starting to listen to these conversations and we're starting to get people to come together, I think the most important thing we can do right now is set aside our trivial differences and focus on the main issue, which is Agenda 21 and the government. They're not our friends, they're our enemies. We see it ramping up in Canada right now. Apparently now next week, Justin Trudeau is going to talk to Parliament about implementing the United Nations Small Arms Agreement, which, of course, is complete disarmament of the Canadian public. This is going to really, really strike home with a lot of people. This just came down to the wire to me that that's what the government's going to be talking about next week.
What a coincidence. What is New Zealand doing at the same time?
And we see it going on everywhere. Well, if you disarm the public, how are they going to stand up to us? I mean, come on, folks. You can't let them take their guns away. Now, if they try and pull us off in Canada, then you are going to see a lot of redneck Canadians all of a sudden get involved in what's going on in our government. Up to this point,
I wanted to actually make a point on that. I have great respect for men, and specifically men usually, who, instead of turning their guns in to a tyrannical government, bury them and hide them for the days when they will need them. I have great respect for men like that because they are risking a lot by doing so. Now, I do not encourage anybody to do this, okay? And I cannot legally encourage people to not give in your firearms or something like that. Right. However, I have the deepest respect for the people who put themselves at risk just so that one day they can continue to put themselves at risk for all of us and all of our freedoms. I have the tremendous amount of respect for the people who do that. But I'm not one of those people, you know. I don't have any guns.
I have made sure that I'm armed, Vinny, because if it ever comes to that point that I need it and I wish I had it and I don't have it, it will be there. But, you know, I hope that day doesn't come. But myself, my friend, if it ever comes down to the point where the government is going to bring down tyranny full-blown in our society, I will not go out on my knees, buddy. I'll go out standing up. And a lot of people feel the same way. That, you know, no matter what happens here in the future, we're going to stand and make our stand. And it's you know, what else do we do at this point, man? I see the disarmament agenda going on all over the world. I see the same agenda being played out. It doesn't matter if you look at New Zealand, Australia, England, France, Germany, they're all the same agenda being played out. Good news is we're seeing a lot of nationalism rise in the world. We're seeing conservatism rise in the world as people are starting to push back. In Canada, all our provinces now, with the exception of a couple, have gone conservative. Now, of course, conservative is just another head of the same snake, but the fact that people are starting to pay attention is a good thing. We have to change the whole system before it'll actually work for the people. You know that, and I know that. It'll never work for the people, but we are seeing people in Canada all of a sudden really start to get involved in pushing back against our government.
Well, one can only hope. I think, what was it Leonard Caldwell told me? Every hope is good, even false hope, because no hope leads to despair, and the desperate have no medicine but only hope. This is something that we've got to understand. I mean, I'm perhaps not the man to give people hope. I am a jaded, cynical journalist because I'm a good journalist, you know, that you're not a good journalist unless you're jaded and cynical. This is how you can assume things and they wind up being correct a lot of the time, because you shortcut the need to investigate, because you understand the mentality behind the people who do certain crimes, how they go about them, and you can shortcut and go just ba-bum, 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 ba-bum. Like, for instance, one time my wife comes up to me, "Hey, baby, they heard there was a truck bomb defused in Times Square." And I instantly, off the top of my head, "Oh, don't worry, baby, it's probably just the FBI." And it was. You know? No investigation, no reading of articles, didn't even see the footage. It's an FBI informant.
Go figure it.
These guys, okay, here's the thing. These guys have a playbook, they use it, and it works. It's continued to work for 100 plus freaking years, maybe even thousands of years if you really want to get technical about it. But ultimately, this is how human beings are controlled. Through fear. Terrorism, what? Communism, fascism, capitalism, these are systems of government, okay? Mm. Terrorism is a system of government that is defined by terrorizing its population into going along with its frickin' agenda. Now, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but my government threatens me all the time. Threaten me with taxes, threaten me with jail if I don't pay those taxes, threaten me with fluoride, threaten me with forced vaccines, threaten me with bloody chemtrails and stuff like that. I'm in a constant state of threat from my government. I live in a terrorist state. Let that sink in. Let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen. We are the terrorists, okay? That's the thing. If you live in a terrorist country, you are, by definition, a terrorist. You're not a capitalist, ladies and gentlemen. You're not a socialist. You're a terrorist because you live in a terrorist country, because it's a political ideology. Now, think about this. Imagine for a moment that because people are terrorists, by definition, does that mean that they will justify terrorism? What does war create? What does invading a country do? You know, that kind of thing. And as the great comedian Steve Hughes said, well, it creates terror, but ours is good terror. Okay, it's good, peace, freedom, love, and terror. Sort of like a terror light. Kind of a diet terror. Sort of, I can't believe it's not terror, you know, but what are you going to do once you've got the terror, you know? We're going to go on a horror next. Don't worry about those goth bastards, we'll get them.
Next.
we're going to sequence through the entire ideological spectrum until we've got them all, you know, that kind of thing. But what does war create? It creates terror so that you're involved in, you're having a war against the consequence of the actions you're involved in.
Being played like a fiddle. We're being played like a fiddle, and people don't realize they're being played, Benny. I mean, all wars have been funded by the banks. If you look at all wars in the last 100 years, they're funded on both sides by the banks. The military industrial complex gets rich, and us poor people go fight the poor people of their country and kill each other. I mean, it's just a sham, and there is no need for war. But war makes money, and war creates control. And that's why we see war, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's profitable. Because you can loan money to both sides. I mean, think about this. What's the most expensive thing your country could ever engage in? War!
It sucks the money out of the people, and it puts it into the hands of the banksters. And we think we're doing a good thing. It's a joke. It really is, but people can't see that, really.
I was watching a video one time, and I think this Elder Truther is saying one of his friends came up to him, and he goes, "Hey, we just paid off our war debts." And he goes, "What do you mean war debts? Like Vietnam, World War II?" And he goes, no, the Civil War.
Oh, yeah, it was a little ahead of the times. Excuse me. The Civil War. That means we only got a couple wars to go now, and we're in the green.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what's so disgusting about war is that its effect happens over a longer period of time than the conflict does. Because who owns you after you loan money off them and that loaned money helps you win the war? Mm. Your creditors own you. And now, here's New Zealand in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen. If you're familiar with the Cayman Islands or any other of these polluted tax havens, right, that are run by organized crime scumbaggery, and basically the local people don't really have any rights or whatever, but they've got really good tourism industries and things like that and make everybody think it's like real nice and friendly. Not the Cayman Islands, New Zealand, and not the in the North Atlantic, but the South Pacific. Exactly the same thing. Different accent, different language. And what's the two things that they have in common? They're British colonies, okay? The Bank of England, ladies and gentlemen, owned by the Rothschild dynasty, allows these little tax havens to exist through their banking system because they need a hell of a lot of ill-gotten gains in cash running through their machines to keep financing their scumbaggery. Thank you very much. Why do you think New Zealand was mentioned in the Panama Papers leak that was tied to financial fraud and embezzlement and tax dodging and things like that? New Zealand itself was mentioned 66,000 times in those leaks. Yeah. We are an incredibly corrupt country. So, naturally, our tourism industry has come up with this tagline for New Zealand, 100% pure.
Okay. Just don't look over here.
Just don't look anywhere. I mean, it's a joke. That's the problem. I mean, doing this for 10 years, you talk to any activist about anything for any reason. You can kick over a rock in this country. You could throw a stick in the air, and when it lands, it'll land on a part of the New Zealand conspiracy. It's that bad. And I wonder as well how much harder I have to work. And this is another thing. I'm working, hard as I can. Right now I'm really, really tired and I'd rather be in bed or whatever. You know, I've worked all weekend. I've streamed all week. I've done all these technical things. Blah, 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 blah. But the thing is,
here you are in the morning.
How much harder do I actually have to work before we actually start seeing progress against the New World Order? You know, how many people might need to assist me or help me or donate to me or become a Patreon or something like that? And, you know, it's like that's projection, okay? That's anxiety talking. You go, oh, but what about this thing that doesn't exist over here in the future? It's just like, okay, well, why don't you just sit there polluting your consciousness with things that don't exist, okay? Brilliant idea, bro. This is really going to help you through life. You're not – It's just like, hold on a second. What am I doing right now? I'm on a radio show talking to Barry Prince. I'm having fun. Okay? Yeah. And I think that's what people need to realize is that there actually is only this moment right here and this moment and this moment and this moment. There's actually only one. Okay? Now, that moment's eternal. That moment started at the beginning of time, and it will never end until time itself ends. So that means you've shared a moment. with everything that has ever existed or ever will. And if you don't live in that moment, you're going to feel stress, you're going to feel anxiety, because you'll be worried about things that have not yet and may never happen. How much money do I need? How much? Shh. Where are you? I'm right here. What time is it? It's right now. Okay? Close your eyes. Ask yourself this question. Is there an existential threat that I can see coming through the door to kill me right now? Nope. Okay, open your eyes again. You're back in the moment.
Hey, Benny, what's your take on Notre Dame? I wanted to pick your brain on that for a minute. I've looked into it a whole pile of information that I've looked at.
Like and, Quasimodo.
It stinks to high heaven to me, but well, I want your opinion on it.
Well, like Quasimodo, I don't know that much about Notre Dame, but I have a hunch.
A hump?
A hunch. You see, he's a
hunchback. Is that what you're saying, Benny?
And that's the end of my analysis. I haven't looked into it. Sorry, bro. I have no idea.
Okay.
But I assume. Did it have a hell of a lot of media coverage? Did it somehow go off without a hitch? And do they magically have the perpetrators in custody and stuff like that? And are they just suddenly making a whole bunch of anti-terror laws and things like that and making life harder for ordinary, normal people or whatever? False flag. Government did it. You know, that's, again, the cynical, jaded assumption. Just goes like that. No evidence, no investigation. That's just what the instinct tells me, based upon limited info. Right. The thing, that's speculation. I could be wrong. Maybe there are times when the government ruthlessly takes people's guns away and rights away and things like that, where they didn't instigate it themselves. However, I haven't seen one of those instances yet.
They could be coming, though. They could be coming. I just find it really, it's just another example to me of an agenda being played out.
I'd just love to see a genuine terror attack for once. You know, it's just like, please, can we just have a terrorist who isn't a government agent or financed by
government agencies? There's no strength attack. There's no questions in the background.
Am I watching too many movies, or am I just getting bored with this fucking plot? Oh my God, I'm so sorry. This effing plot line. I'm so sorry, guys. I apologize to all the affiliates and everybody. I've been very, very tired working this last week's like an absolute crazy SOB. So I completely apologize to the listeners and the affiliates and everybody for my terrible language there. And I said that I wouldn't say the S word again, and I didn't. And now I won't say the F word again. So we're running down the list. The next up is the C word this time.
It's all right. I can understand you're tired. And sometimes it's hard to keep it back, but I do try and refrain from that because it does offend people, and it's all good. We'll just keep going forward.
Kind of like the scrappy-do of talk radio.
Yeah. We're wackadoodles. I mean, I'm definitely in the wackadoodle club. I've been in that club for a while now. I mean, if you're not in the wackadoodle club, you're not paying attention to what's going on, in my opinion.
On that note as well, are we not adults? Do we not have freedom of speech and things like that? And what's happened is that speech itself has become regulated to the point. And in fact, I was having this conversation yesterday when I was covering the Flat Earth conference here, is that when people swear, it releases endorphins. Okay, so you'll notice that when comedians swear, that's usually on the punchlines of the jokes and things of that nature. And that's what releases that big endorphin hit. It goes up your spine, tilts your head back, and you laugh. Thing. And in fact, that's why men try to make women laugh, because that's the exact same spine and thing that will happen when a woman climaxes. So it's essentially an early climax, a preamble to what it's going to be like. That's the seduction technique of comedy. But this test was done on a couple of students in England, and they had one group of students that were allowed to swear and another group of students that were not. And the task they had to perform was sticking their hands in ice water and try to hold them there for as long as they could. The people who were not allowed to swear pulled their hands out relatively quickly. The people that were allowed to swear were able to keep their hands in that ice for a heck of a lot longer. Mm. It gives a similar effect to painkillers or morphine drip to a large degree. What happens every single time you hurt yourself? You know, you swear, don't you? And that relieves the pain. And I think perhaps, not 100% sure on this, this only just occurs to me now, what if there's an effort to curb foul and blue language because of the relief from anxiety that we have, to keep us all anxious, to keep us afraid of what it is we can and can't say, so that we're constantly tense and unable to deal with life itself? I interviewed a comedian once and I asked him, you know, why do comedians make jokes about things? And he told me the story, and then I summed up the story back to him, and I said, well, you're saying that the reason why you make jokes about things is because the world is such a horrible place that unless you make jokes about it and make light of it, you won't be able to deal with it.
I agree with that, Jenny. I have to put some humor into what I'm looking at, because if we don't laugh at it, we will go insane. So humor definitely has a place in talking about what we're discussing today. And I like a little bit of humor in my conversations, because it gets people, when people start laughing about something, they tend to think about it a little bit more if they're not laughing. So humor is definitely necessary, especially today. I'm sitting back and looking at the world right now, Vinny, and I just see absolute insanity unfolding in the planet. Everywhere I look, I see insanity. And then I couple that with some of the things I see going on geologically, that people aren't prepared for what's coming, that we are going to see some crazy, I honestly believe we're going to see some crazy stuff come up in the very near future here, especially geologically. But it's really going to shake people to the core. And people better be ready for this, because if you're not, you're just going to get caught up in the drama. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm looking at flooding events right now, Vinny, and I know that in human history we've seen major flooding events, and maybe because we didn't have the way of communicating back then that we do now, we weren't able to talk about it worldwide, but what we're seeing right now is just flooding beyond anything I've seen in recorded history. What are your thoughts on that? What is the driving mechanism?
Well, recorded history is not actually that long.
I know it's very, very short in comparative geological time.
Sure. But I'm talking about in terms of actual even weather, temperatures, floods and things like that. We've actually only been recording them for a couple of hundred years. And I like the Australia example. This is quite funny, or at least it's funny to me. Maybe it's actually really horrific and tragic for everybody else, which is sickly probably why it's funny to me. But anyway, the thing that happened was, we've had a once in a 100-year flood, and it's absolutely unprecedented. And anyway, clearly, you don't know the meaning of the word unprecedented. Okay. Unprecedented means preceding this, there was nothing. Okay? When you say you've had a once in a 100-year flood, clearly, it's been preceded by a flood of similar magnitude. All right, so they use this word unprecedented as a way of getting everybody's hyped up and like, oh my God, we could be having major changes and so on and so forth. And people get freaked out very, very easily when they're sitting at home. I mean, I had a listener one time call me up saying, oh, Vinny, I'm really worried about Kilauea going off, and it's going to send away a huge, like, 800-foot tsunami and everything like that. And so I'm researching everything that I can about it. And I go, whoa, hold on a second. Just take a step back. So you're afraid that an 800-foot tsunami is going to come for you, and you're trying to prepare for it? I mean, just think about this. What's going to happen? That you can't prepare for that. That's an end of the world, my friend, scenario. game over. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what you're doing. You're gone. Okay, so what basically people want to do is get you into a state of incomprehensible fear so that you couldn't understand what's going on, even if you wanted to, and you wouldn't think clearly about it regardless. Okay, so if you're thinking in a state of fear, it'll shut down your neocortex. Is the front of your brain that does a lot of your analytical thinking and stuff like that. But when you're in fear, it'll engage your reptilian cortex, which puts you into fight, flight, or freeze. Freeze is the most important because that's anxiety. Okay? And people are living with anxiety every day. That's why weed is so popular, especially with me. But speaking of which, in fact, J-Day has been going on for like over 20 years now. Where people in New Zealand come together in public parks and smoke the place out, all right? Like, seriously, just weed blazed in everywhere. And I know this is absolutely not unique to New Zealand. This is a global thing. People come out in public and they smoke weed in openly flouting the law. People don't get arrested. Nobody gets violent and nothing bad happens. And yet it's still illegal. You get any amount of people with alcohol involved in any public space or whatever, there will be violence. There will be broken glass. There will be dangerous stuff, you know, that kind of thing happening, because alcohol is the most dangerous drug known to man. Okay?
Absolutely.
And I'm not talking about like, oh, you'll just take a sip and it'll kill you. I'm talking about on-flow social consequences. Mm. All right? So let's say in New Zealand, 40% of weekend homicides due to alcohol. Let's say 30% of spousal abuse on weekends due to alcohol. 75% of reported crimes in general due to alcohol. Okay, and that's just on the weekends. You know, this thing affects the entirety of society in so many ways. And cannabis, on the other hand. What are all the side effects?
Pizza.
Well, it goes like this. It's a progressive series of side effects that cannabis gives you. Happy, thirsty, hungry, sleepy. Now, what's somebody in a state of anxiety or any kind of stress, what's going to be good for them? To be happy, thirsty, hungry, and sleepy, because you're stressing out, you need to be hydrated, you need nutrition, and you need sleep to be happy and to be balanced. This thing does it for you. Okay, yeah, I mean, my brother and I were smoking weed in a park a few years back, and he goes, after I gave him some Silver Pearl and some stuff back in the daiquiri days, a big daiquiri factory, you know, it was great. And he says, yeah, this is great weed, man, but this is what I feel like normal anyway, you know? And I was like, yeah, but bro, I prefer to do it the natural way, you know? And I wonder as well if there is a possibility that people are perhaps upset that somebody doesn't view cannabis the way that they do. Like, and I think this is actually a double-edged sword as well, because you've got people in the cannabis movement who hate alcohol, don't like anybody who drinks or anything like that, and people who are very staunchly anti-cannabis, and they don't talk to each other. And this is a similar thing that's what's happening now with the Christchurch mosque massacre coverage, where people are not really necessarily talking to each other about it. They're yelling at each other. Now, I watched an interview with Jim Fetzer and Max Heaven.
All I can say, Vinny, is that alcohol killed 75,000 people in North America last year, and I can't find a recorded death due to cannabis.
1,000 deaths a year in New Zealand.
Yeah, about 75,000 in North America combined between Canada and the United States. That's a lot of people that die every year, but then the judges get rich, the doctors get rich, the courts get rich, the prisons get rich, the police get rich, the lawyers get rich, and we see ourselves destroying. This is the most evil drug in the world as far as I'm concerned. It's condoned and promoted by society, or not society, by the powers to be, because of what it does to people, the effects on our society. If it was up to me, I'd outlaw it. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen in our world today. I quit drinking, Vinny, 37 years ago. And I'll tell you, my friend, that was the best thing I've ever done in my life, period. I know what it does to me, and I know what it does to my friends. I see people that are very, very calm, mellow people, get six beer in them, and all of a sudden they're raging lunatics. Well, is that a good thing? No, it's not a good thing at all. But well, yeah, go.
Spirits. That's why they're called spirits, okay? And it's used in ritual demon possession, okay? That's the thing. What do they give you when you go to Catholic Church? Red wine. Give it to children, the blood of Christ, that kind of thing. Addict them early. So it's actually a cultural thing. So, for instance, in Spain, they give the kids wine, but they mix it with Coca-Cola, half Coca-Cola and half with wine. And even at like 5, 6, 7 years old, these kids are drinking a glass of wine with their meal with mum and dad. And the alcoholism problem in Spain doesn't exist. You know why? Because the kids were accustomed to responsible drinking over a long period of time. In Brussels, when they have the finest Belgian beer in the world, people drink all day, every day, and nobody gets hit, nobody gets violent, nobody gets too drunk. In Oktoberfest in Germany, they have 3 tents for the whole of Oktoberfest. They have a tent for New Zealand, they have a tent for Australia, and they have a tent for the whole rest of the frickin' world. Okay? So, and there's a couple of reasons for that. I mean, number one, New Zealanders and Australians are the world's worst drinkers. Where did we get our alcoholism from? From Britain. Okay, Britain brought alcohol to this part of the world, and it stayed. And because this part of the world was relatively boring and unconnected with the rest of the world, and you'd be stuck alone for months, years, decades on end without any supplies and things like that coming in, brewing your own alcohol and getting incredibly wasted all the time seemed to be a really good idea. But you'd think that that was the reason for it, but in actual fact, it was the government that caused the alcohol and binge drinking problem. Let me explain. So, first of all, prohibition. When you prohibit somebody from doing something, what's the first thing they're going to want to do? Precisely what you're telling them not to do, okay? So, first of all, you say alcohol's a bad thing and you prohibit it. What happened during prohibition? Alcoholism shot through the roof. Alcohol consumption shot through the roof. Deaths because of alcohol, violence because of alcohol, murders because of alcohol. These things all went absolutely crazy because there was no regulation. Now, in New Zealand, we have a binge drinking culture. You know, you stay sober throughout the week and then you just get really, really pissed on the weekends. And a lot of countries share this kind of culture. And it's incredibly dangerous because it's one of the least responsible ways of consuming alcohol. And it gets to a point where, you know, people is like this machismo thing, like, oh, I've got a limit. I've got these. I can drink this much. I can drink that much. And it's just like, okay, did you create anything of value for society or yourself or anything in any way by drinking that much?
No, I went into an accident, killed somebody, and lost my license for the rest of my life.
But even if you didn't hurt anybody or do anything wrong, just remember there are some people who shouldn't drink and there are some people that shouldn't smoke weed. But fortunately, I'm neither of those people. So like basically the concept is, have you got a lot of self-control with you and do you have issues that alcohol perhaps brings out these different things? And I also want to thank Noise Nest in the chat room there for your $2 super chat. She says, much love to both of us, Barry. That's nice. And also W924 gave us $5 earlier on in the show. I'm so sorry for not mentioning it at the time, brother. But what I was saying here is when New Zealand came out of alcohol prohibition, they had this thing called 6 o'clock closing. So what that means is the bars closed at 6 p.m. Okay? So you had an hour to go from your work to the bar, drink as much as you possibly could, and then go home. Okay? That is a government-mandated binge drinking trap. Okay?
Count them back, boys.
and now we have the worst alcoholic country per capita like virtue in the world, you know? And it sickens me because I very much dislike people who are drunk. And I'm not talking about somebody who's tipsy. I'm not talking about anybody like – let me explain what I mean. I went out and I got so drunk that I was lying in the middle of the road. The cops came and they picked me up and they took me home. And, you know, I maybe spent like 5 minutes getting my keys in the door and then I went to bed. That's all I remember. But when I woke up, there was a half-eaten sandwich on my kitchen floor. There was a police issue vomit bag in my hallway, and I was like, "What the hell is going on here?" And my girlfriend at the time, she tells me, "Well, what happened was the cops actually followed you through your door when you opened it up, and you actually got out of bed and you went to vomit in the toilet and you made yourself a sandwich, and then you went back to bed." And I go, "Really? Was I violent? Was I aggressive?" And they're like, "No." I was like, "Okay, well that sounds like me." Because that's exactly what I do if I get poisoned with alcohol, you know, and drink too much. I sober myself up, I purge, and then I go back to sleep. You know, that kind of thing. Nobody gets hit, nobody gets abused, nobody gets me ranting at them and repeating myself over and over again. I just don't. I can handle it. But there are people, third beer, fourth beer, whatever it is that their limit's over, they're not them anymore. You're dealing with a demon. That's why they call it spirits. They stuff it down inside you. They pull you out and they stuff something else in. And I think maybe our society is specifically and deliberately populated with these people who have been demon possessed in order to scare the hell out of the rest of us and cause so much trouble and danger and difficulty within society that we can't have social cohesion. Because if we had that, and if we got rid of alcoholism, not rid of alcohol, but rid of alcoholism and replaced our binge drinking culture with responsible drinking culture like they've got in Spain and Belgium and Germany and France, it's beer and wine all the time and nobody's getting too pissed and nobody's getting into fights, you know, that kind of thing. And I don't mean nobody. I'm talking about the statistics are at least way less bad than they are in our end of the world with the British and colonial drinking culture. But in either case, somebody in New Zealand will think very, very differently about the mosque massacre attack to perhaps anybody else in the rest of the world, because, you know, we feel very personally affected by it. Much like on 9/11, Americans felt very personally affected by it. And after it, you know, you saw all those United We Stand concerts and things like that with P. Diddy or whatever the frickin' heck his name is. And like, I predict that the hype around this New Zealand's 9/11, and that's what it is. This mosque massacre is New Zealand's 9/11. The hype around it will justify enormous amounts of things. Already has. And really will continue to justify things for some time. I mean, think about it. How many years ago did they stop using the words 9/11 to justify every single action? It was actually only a few years ago, right? Like maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, they stopped repeating the word 9/11 every 5 minutes to make you afraid and justify any invasion, any of that. Oh, they're connected to 9/11. Oh, it was 9/11. Yep. Oh, you don't have any freedoms anymore. It was 9/11. You know, that kind of thing. They can't use that anymore, all right, because the public consciousness isn't afraid of that anymore because people are now of voting age and they have never, ever seen a day in their life that wasn't a part of the war on terror. Okay, think about this.
It's good business, Vinny. It's really good business. You create the enemy, you go fight the enemy, and we pay for it. And that's been going on for a long time. I mean, how many false flags have we seen in the last 30, 40 years? And what does it achieve in society? Well, 9/11 brought the American people unified against an enemy that was perceived but didn't exist. It's the fact that 9/11 is still going on today and the people involved haven't been charged criminally. To me, speaks volumes about exactly where our society is. I mean, it is the biggest lie ever told. Anybody that's ever looked at 9/11 would realize that we are being totally lied to, that it achieved the agenda that it was set out to be. We see the Homeland Security, the Patriot Act. We see all these restrictions on our freedom being enforced through 9/11 to keep us secure. I mean, boy, oh boy, 9/11 has affected everybody's life in ways that, if we really started talking about it, they'd be able to put the they'd be able to cross the T's and dot the I's. 9/11 to me, Vinny, is something that should be identified and brought out and called out in society. Yet we still see nothing really being done about it. It really speaks volumes of where we are.
Well, and also, just because you don't see something being done about it doesn't mean it ain't being done. Like, for instance, people will accuse me of never criticizing Israel or never criticizing Zionism. Whereas if you Google Vinny Eastwood, Israel, Vinny Eastwood, Zionism, you have a shockingly large amount of results that come up of the many, many times when I've discussed this. So what that means is a lot of us will say that something doesn't exist simply because I haven't heard it yet, you know, that kind of thing. And it's called nascience. Now, nascience is the counterpoint to ignorance. Ignorance is when you ignore something, and nascience is when the information exists, but it has yet to come across your path. And I think a lot of society are not ignorant. They're, in fact, nascent. And I think that's why a lot of them do get really angry at conspiracy theorists and that kind of thing. And by the by, it's like, you want to be accepted at all times. We all want to be accepted and we all want to be loved, and that's all well and good. But what do we give up in order to do it? You know?
Freedom.
I mean, think about it. If there is a possibility that we aren't, I don't know, that we're not ourselves, that we're not being genuine anymore, what means that we are owning ourselves anymore? And what I mean by that is, what point do you compromise yourself to before you're not you anymore? Like, have you lost your soul? Have you lost your credibility? And that kind of thing. And is there any going back from that? And these are the big questions that a lot of people don't ask themselves. And that's because they've already stumbled off the trail, and they're going down here and they're ignoring this, and they're like getting down this rabbit hole or that rabbit hole or whatever. And, the problem is with going down rabbit holes or learning about any particular subject is that rabbit holes have sides, and they give you tunnel vision, and they trap you. Okay, that was actually the ultimate analogy of the rabbit hole, is that they're actually a trap, a confusing trap that absorbs you, okay, and absorbs all your time. Now, am I saying don't go down the rabbit hole? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, understand that you have to have a way back, and you have to go through more than one before you start realizing that the world isn't just a whole collection of rabbit holes. It's actually a giant spider's web, and each strand of the web looks like a rabbit hole, and you need the overview.
Yeah, exactly. I take a GPS with me when I go down the rabbit holes, not many, because I get lost down there. Hey, listen, we're down to the last couple minutes here, but one thing I wanted to just ask you real quickly before the show's over is, marine life and ocean activities around New Zealand, are you seeing anything catastrophic that you could talk about real quick in the last couple, 3 years? Because one thing I am following, Vinny, is what's going on in the Pacific Ocean, the death of the Great Barrier Reef. I'm doing studies on that right now. I'm just wondering if New Zealand's seeing a lot of effects of what's going on in the Pacific Ocean right now in the last couple minutes. If you could answer that real quick, and we'll have to shut out the show.
Well, we don't, but we will. The only person I've actually interviewed regarding that particular subject in any vein is regarding the seabed and foreshore mining that's going to be going on. We're talking about billions of cubic meters of sand and sediment that's going to be kicked up from the ocean floor and create these giant plumes around the country, you know, that kind of thing. And it's going to choke and kill and destroy wildlife like nobody's business, essentially. The entire ocean floor and all of the flora and fauna that live there are just going to get coated with this stuff and basically die. So that's not going to be good. And we've had a number of whale beachings and things of that nature. And we've got oil exploration going off of our shores a big time as well. So there's a number of different problems, and one that stretched back to 2012, now that I recall it, not long after the Fukushima disaster, we turned off our seawater radiation testing stations. All right, yep. So we test the seawater outside New Zealand, like I think it was like once a week. I forget how often it was being tested or whatever, but it was regularly tested. And that at a certain point, not long after Fukushima, they decided, you know what, well, we're not going to test it at all. What do you mean, like ever again? You know, it's like, yeah, never again. There's no point, bro. Like, why would we do that? And they also at that same point stopped scanning imports from Japan for radiation as well.
Exactly. I know, but I read about that. Listen, Vinny, we're running out of time here, buddy. This hour's gone very, very quickly. Quickly in the last minute, you want to plug your show real quick, and we'll have to shut out the first hour.
Absolutely. So hopefully, ladies and gentlemen, you feel like I'm worthy of support. Please go to patreon.com/Vinny Eastwood. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point?
What's the point? Okay, Vinny, thanks for joining me, buddy, and always a pleasure talking to you, and we'll have to do this again sometime in the near future.
All right, cheers, buddy.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a break here for about 3 minutes, and I'm going to be back with Peter Salani, and we're going to talk about Canadian politics, and we're going to talk about some other neat stuff, so please join me, and I'll be back in 3 minutes. Well, welcome back to the second hour, folks, and thanks to Vinny for joining me. I apologize again for the couple F-bombs dropped during the hour. And like I said, in a lot of my shows, I won't agree with everybody's opinion, but I like to get those opinions heard by people. So thanks again to Vinny for joining me. And second hour here, I'm joined by Peter Salami now. Peter, I just kind of got following his shows here about, I think it was about 3 months ago, I first saw him on the internet. And I've had a chance to call in and talk to Peter a couple times, and I know we see eye to eye on a lot of issues. So I thought I'd have Peter come in today, and maybe you can tell people a little bit about yourself, Peter, and let's get into a conversation about just about a million things we could talk about right now. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me. A little bit about myself. I'm a Canadian patriot. I have a website that's strictly on politics, but I also have a ministry website as well, which is actually my first passion that I have, that I started back in 1999. I started that website, and I do videos. I've did internet radio for a long time doing that, and I also went on regular radio on Joy 1250 here in Oakville, Ontario. I was on there for about 2 years, preaching and teaching the Bible. And then April of last year, I started political videos because I really started to see Justin Trudeau and what his real agenda is. And, you know, being a puppet pretty much of the UN, and it really just started me really seeing what Justin Trudeau is really all about. So I started doing political videos as well. And I've been doing Facebook Live for ever since then. And now here we are.
Yeah, well, I've been following him since he was elected. And you know what? Prior to him running for prime minister, even when he was running for the Liberal Party, I was screaming at the top of my lungs that if this man, and a lot of people will tell you this, that I told people that if this guy ever becomes prime minister, our country is finished. And people laughed at me. And they said, well, no, he's got great ideas. Let's give him a chance. But if you've ever studied Pierre Elliott Trudeau, which I have studied in great detail in my life, I understand what he was all about, what he did to Canada, the changes he brought in. His son is just carrying on the exact same agenda, but on steroids. Absolutely. Things that I've seen happen in my country here in the last 3 or 4 months, Peter, just shocks me to the core. And it's just getting ramped up. I mean, this man is totally out of control. The good news is that Canadians are really starting to wake up to his agenda. And we see massive pushback coming now from Canadians. We really got to step it up, because this guy is a maniac. But in hindsight, he's just doing exactly what George Soros is telling him to do. George Soros is pulling the strings on this gentleman, and he has no power. He's just a puppet, like you said, Peter. But we are
Some of the things really didn't surprise me, like the carbon tax, because the Liberal Party, I mean, when he was elected, I was telling people, my audience, I was saying that the Liberal Party is a tax and spend party. They always have been, always will be, mm-hmm. but they won't tell you that on the leadership campaign, the election campaign. They're not going to say, well, what we're going to do, we're going to tax you, and then we're going to spend it. See, if they say that, they'll never get elected. See, but they are a tax and spend party. They just don't tell you that. But when they get into power, what do? They tax, and then they spend.
And where do they spend the money? Where is their money?
Well, they spend it elsewhere. They don't spend it in Canada. They spend it. They give it to other governments.
Well, we got a sergeant in the Canadian Army who lost her leg in combat, mm-hmm. and just lost in court with the government. The government fought her for a prosthetic, and they won. And yet, this lady went over there and sacrificed her limb to fight for Canada, and our government is shunning her. Yet we see billions and billions of dollars going out of our country to support terrorist organizations, directly or indirectly.
I mean, why is there a fight in court in the first place? For like, why are they fighting this person in court in the first place?
Well, exactly. Trudeau's promising when he was elected is that nobody in the Canadian Armed Forces would ever have to fight the government in court for benefits that are due to them. And right. here you have a lady who lost her leg and went to the government for a prosthetic, and the government fought her in court and denied it. I mean, my God, folks, what is going on? It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, like how could you even fight her on that in court? Here's a woman who has joined the military. She's putting her life on the line for our safety, and she's just asking for a prosthetic leg, and they're fighting her in court for it? I mean, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
You don't hear about it being talked on CBC, but you will see them bringing in people like Omer Khadr on Easter and putting this guy on a platform and people applauding. I mean, I watched that interview, Peter, and I was just going, what is going on in my country? Well, the good news is now we've got a loony coin out that's very inclusive. That I don't know if you've seen the new loony. Of course, you've covered it, but it's just another example of what this government is trying to do to undermine our culture and our morals in this country, man. People that don't know about it, we had a loony, an actual loon, on the back of our $1 coin, and the government, in their wisdom, is taking that away and now having a loony come out with two homosexuals kissing on the back of our coin. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen this come out, and I'm really banging my head against the wall, Peter. Why aren't people yelling at the top of their voice and standing up against this? It really makes me question what Canadians, if they do still have a backbone, if there's Canadians out there with the intestinal fortitude to stand up against this. I don't see it in our society, and it makes me scratch my head, Peter. It really does.
Right.
We were in a lot of trouble. Our country is in serious, serious trouble, that everything that I value and have appreciated growing up in this country is being taken away from us, and people still are silent. It seems like they're more concerned about who won the hockey game last night than the destruction of their country.
Right. And it's interesting how they take away Sir Johnny McDonald off the $10 bill, the man who built this country, connected it from east to west with the railroad and everything else, and replaced it with a woman who went to the movies.
Yeah.
And she didn't even stay in Canada after. She moved to the United States. Right? And so, but this is what the socialists do, which Justin Trudeau is. He's a socialist. They go after the foundations of the country, its history, its culture. They undermine all that. They undermine all that, so there's no foundation. They go after it all the time. You see the same pattern everywhere that socialists, when they come into power, you see the same pattern everywhere. And, you know, this Easter that just passed was just Easter 2019 was a terrible Easter for Christians because of the bombings that took place in Sri Lanka, mm-hmm. and what you just mentioned, Omer Khadr, and people clapping. He comes on stage, people are clapping. This is a terrorist.
Yeah, that was given $10.5 million of our money.
personally, because from Justin Trudeau. Personally.
He signed off on it. It was personal. Justin Trudeau made sure that was that went through, and of course there's a gag order attached. He can't talk about the settlements. But here you have him running around on CBC, and people are clapping. This guy killed an American citizen. And because he went to Guantanamo Bay and his civil rights were violated, Justin Trudeau gave him $10.5 million of her money. But that's not the only one. There's been two other settlements that I've read about, totaling $33 million now paid to terrorists by our government. Why aren't people screaming, Peter?
Canadians are so apathetic. It's ridiculous. I think in Canada, it's going to have to take a disaster on a national scale for Canadians to finally wake up out of their sleep and say, hey, we got to do something about this.
Yeah, I agree. But unfortunately, if that does happen, it might get to a point where we can't do anything about it. It could be too late. We're seeing that all being played in. We see the United Nations with their tentacles all through Canada. What I was talking about before we went on here is that I believe that I got two calls from people that are really in the know about this, Peter, and you're going to see the Canadian government try and enforce the United Nations Small Arms Agreement in Canada under the UN. Now, I doubt if this will fly, but if they do try to bring this in, it will wake up a lot of people to exactly what's going on in our country. So I hope they actually do try to bring it in because it'll get quashed. But just the fact that they are pushing this agenda, this armed people, like we see the agenda being pushed everywhere. In New Zealand with that attack in the church, now they've outlawed guns, they've outlawed AR-15s, they've outlawed multiple levels of guns now that, you know, people like you and me. Well, yeah, but people like you and me aren't going to go out and kill somebody because we have a gun. A gun is a
tool. I don't have a gun. I personally don't have a gun. I don't know how to shoot a gun. I don't know how to operate a gun. But I understand about self-defense and what the framers of the Constitution in the United States, what they had in mind when they wrote that Second Amendment about self-defense of the – they wrote it so the people can defend themselves against a tyrannical government.
Right.
Not the other way around.
Well, the forefathers had the insight to realize that this is a real possibility, and the abuse of power is something that's very, very real in our society. I mean, the speech that John Kennedy made 3 weeks before he was shot said it all. And that's the reason he was taken out. He was, that was the reason he was exterminated, because he was going to go against the Vietnam War. He wasn't going to get America involved in Vietnam. And, of course, that didn't go along with the military-industrial complex, so they snuffed him. That's history. You look at the assassination of John F. Kennedy and tell me that one person shot him from behind and did the damage that happened to the side of his face. I could sell you a bridge in New York City, buddy, if you believe that.
Right.
No problem. I'll sign it off today for you, okay? Here's the papers. Believe me, I wouldn't tell you a lie, but then they lie to us. I mean, Trudeau, I haven't seen him tell a truth since he's become prime minister. I'm trying to find the truth, except for the fact that he promised to legalize cannabis, which they carried through for. And now, instead of seven laws in Canada, we have 45 that we've actually gone in the wrong direction. And, to me, cannabis is a vital part of our society, not for the fact that you can go and get a buzz off it, but the medical benefits from cannabis are just mind-boggling. Peter, I just had a lady here in Terrace 3 weeks ago approach me. She has tongue cancer. Okay, I had her take this. I'm going to get her on the show next week. She's going to come on and tell her story, because it just got me to tears when she told me that she's been applying cannabis oil directly to the cancer on her tongue for 3 weeks, and the cancer is just about gone. She went and saw her doctor. Her doctor asked her what she was doing. She told him. He told her, just keep doing it because it is working. Well, I have now seven people in my community that I have, through the grace of God, been able to introduce them to cannabis, and I've seen it knock cancer out of their body. It is not a demon plant, folks. It was put on this planet for us to use. Of course, anything can be abused in our society, but the benefits of cannabis, Peter, when I get into the conversations about it, it is one of the most beneficial plants on the planet today, that it was put here for us to use, that it was meant for us to be used. It was taken away from us, demonized by society, and now we have cotton, we have plastics, we have oil. All that wouldn't be in our society if if this wasn't taken away. And now it's time for us to bring it back for the benefits, because our planet is in a lot of trouble. And it can do so much for the planet, Peter. It's one of the things I do talk about a lot, because I am passionate about it. I see what it can do for the people. And, boy, our planet is in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble right now. So, yeah, I know that probably it might be a touchy subject with you. I don't know if it is or not, but I don't believe that God put something on this planet that we weren't supposed to use. And it has been used by the human race for thousands and thousands of years.
But absolutely. The problem is that man always seems to channel it to use it for evil instead of for good. That's the problem.
Well, of course, that's going to always exist. But we have to get, in my world, Peter, I think we need to get people away from the stigma that it is just an evil, evil thing. And of course, some people still hear that word and they think evil. But it's not. If it was applied right and used in our society properly, you would see Big Pharma go out of business. Well, to me, Big Pharma is the most evil thing in the whole world, that they're selling us drugs that they know are killing people, that are affecting people. We're now the sickest nations in the world, Peter, yet we spend 10 times as much on healthcare as the next closest countries. That's Canada and the United States. And yet we lead the world now in most diseases. We're probably, we are actually classified as the sickest nations in the world right now. Yeah. So Big Pharma is not working at all. It's working great for the people with the money, but it's not working for us.
And I think one of the major thing why Canadians and Americans are so sick is lack of vitamin D. Just go out in the sun for pity's sake for an hour, 2 hours. Soak up that vitamin D. Because of people lack of vitamin D, they get all kinds of sicknesses. I mean, at least take vitamin D, the pill.
Yeah, well, I agree. There's multiple things I believe that are affecting our health, and that's one of them. But I believe our food and what we're being exposed to. I did a study here a little while ago, Peter, on the depletion of the human immune system from 1969 to 2017. I was looking at the numbers and actual depletion of immune system ability. And we now, a person in 2015, had about 35% less immune ability than a person in 1969. So our immune systems are getting weaker and weaker, and all disorders in the human body are pretty well based on the immune system, that the human body is a miraculous creation of God, that if we support our bodies right and our bodies are functioning properly, that we can basically take on anything that invades our body. But our bodies are so weak now and so polluted with chemicals and GMOs. Boy, I'll tell you, anybody that thinks a GMO is a good thing really has got to look at the eugenics programs being put out by the government, how GMOs tie into that. We could talk about any aspect of society right now, and it seems like there's nothing beneficial for the human body.
Right. Also, the land has been so depleted you don't find the nutrients in the food as you did, you know, as opposed to 30, 40 years ago. So that's also contributing to why we're not as healthy as we used to be.
And boom, there goes cannabis, industrial cannabis. You know, when it's planted on soil, it has a root system that goes deeper than any root system in the world, that an 8-foot cannabis plant can have up to a 10-foot root. And those roots get into the soil and release organisms and microbes that are never released during normal cultivation or normal growing procedures. So if you were to take land that is depleted of nutrients and plant industrial hemp on it, it would detoxify any contaminants in the soil, which has been proven to do, and release new microbes into the soil that we're depleted of. So there again, I talk about this a lot, Peter, that we could solve so many problems by embracing industrial hemp. And now I see Donald Trump has completely legalized the use of industrial hemp in the United States of America. Well, that to me is a monumental step forward. Our soil is so contaminated. We are spraying chemicals in our sky every day. And I don't have it as bad up here as some of the places I hear about. But I hear about places where you have actual just spider webs of chemtrails being sprayed in the sky on a daily basis. Well, these contaminants, Peter, you know and I know, are all metal-based, that you have nano-sized particles of aluminum and beryllium and mercury that they tell us are deflecting heat from the surface of the sun. Well, all of these contaminants are metal-based, and they're going to end up in our soil, henceforth ending up in our food, in our bodies. It's got to come to a stop. It's insanity. We can change it. We can. And I believe that cannabis is an answer to about 60-70% of the problems we face right now, if we could embrace it. I do. And I don't say that lightly. I 7 years ago, I had the pleasure of meeting Rick Simpson. And Rick said to me that day, the first time I ever met him, he says that, you know, cannabis can literally cure the planet from the inside out. And I honestly believe that now. So I think it's time for us to embrace it and not be scared of it, to fully embrace it.
Yeah, but I think governments like to see us sick because they make money off of it.
Well, yeah, there isn't a prescription drug on the market. And I defy anybody to prove me wrong in this statement that there isn't a prescription drug out there that actually heals the body. They're just a Band-Aid. They're designed to get you back into the doctor's office in the very near future with another problem. But, you know, all prescription drugs...
Then you got to deal with the side effects.
Well, of course. And then, of course, they all contain analyticals, Peter. And those analyticals store in our body fat and our liver. And then you throw another analytical in there, and that analytical doesn't like this analytical. And they're going to start having a little party. And then they go to war with each other, and you've got something else going on in your body. So you go back to the doctor's office. He gets out his little book, and he says, try this one. Or this is a new one. Try this. Well, it's insanity, man. It's absolutely insanity. It's crazy. Insanity.
You see my mother. My mother's medicine chest cabinet is just filled with prescription drugs.
I know people that take like 9 pills in the morning and 11 pills at noon and then 9 more at supper. And I'm going, man,
how can that be good for you?
Insane.
Exactly. I'm watching my mother in the morning take all these pills. And I sit there and I look at her and I said, Ma, that cannot be good for you. But the doctor told her, if you don't take these pills, you will die.
Yeah,
that's exactly what he told her.
I know. Big Pharma, like I said, Big Pharma is working great for Big Pharma, but it's not working for people. I've been lucky.
They're in business to make money.
Well, of course. I've only been to a doctor now once in the last 4 years because I did get an infection in my arm that I couldn't get rid of. So I had to go get some antibiotics for that. But that's the only time in 4 years that I've been to a doctor. I'm studying what naturals can be used in the body to offset some of the things that I'm experiencing getting older, and I'm applying those to my life, and my body just loves the changes. Especially chaga. That's one I talk about all the time, Peter's chaga. Right. That's something you got to go get put in your body. Your body.
Well, I can proudly say that I just turned 50 years old, and I'm not taking one pill. So I can proudly say that.
I am not either, Peter. The only thing I put in my body every day is cannabis and chaga. And I do take cannabis oil in my body. I have been for about 4 years. I don't get a buzz off it, but I know the CBDs and the CBLs, what it does to my neurological system, what it does to the endocannabinoid signaling system in the human body. The World Health Organization stated that was the greatest medical discovery of the 20th century, how this system works in your body, why when we add cannabinoids to our body responds the way it does. That it's only being taught now in 13% of the universities in the United States of America is a travesty, that our whole bodies work off this signaling system. Your body has cannabinoid receptors in it when it's born. Your mother's breast milk contains cannabinoids. It was meant to be put into our body and used, and it benefits that are absolutely mind-boggling. But, of course, it's still demonized in our society. And I think that's a tragedy, my friend.
Well, I think most people, when they think of cannabis, they think about, you know, smoking it and getting high. I don't really think that the general public thinks of it as a medicine or what you talk about, cannabis oil. Most people, when you mention marijuana, right away they think of a joint, lighting up a joint and smoking it and getting high.
Yeah. Well, of course, and then, you know, they brought around Neat Root for Madness. I mean, that was a documentary released. I believe it was, I'm trying to get the date right. I don't want to say it wrong. I think it was 1935. I don't have it in front of me. But along came Root for Madness, and it demonized cannabis. And along came the word marijuana, which is a slang term that was incorporated out of Mexico to give this plant an absolute black eye in society. And along came cotton, along came oil, along came plastics. And now what do we have? We have a world that's dying. Our planet is literally dying right now. And I don't say that lightly. I don't want to be a fear-monger type of person, but I'm very realistic about what I see going on to our animals and our species and our food. It's shocking, to be honest, but I believe we can still change it. at this point.
Yeah, we can. I don't believe that man has the will to, due to his greed and the way everything's structured right now. But we can if we had the will to turn it around. But I remember, Barry, you mentioned to me about Bible prophecy and how there's when you look at prophecy, Bible prophecy, there's like an overall plan that's actually happening here. That eventually Christ will come back and set up the kingdom of God and restore everything. It's like paradise. When you read the Bible from beginning to end, it's like paradise lost, what happened in the Garden of Eden, to paradise restored that you read in the book of Revelation. And so, yeah, man can turn it around, but I don't feel man has the will to turn it around. But eventually God himself will step in and restore everything to its proper balance.
Well, he can't be happy with what he sees us doing to this incredible creation of his, can he, Peter? I mean, we've really made a mess of it, haven't we?
Yeah, well, when you look at the biblical prophecies, when God talks about a people called Israel, now, many people don't understand, when you mention Israel, automatically people think, oh, that's the Jews. But really, when you look at biblical history, there is actually 12 tribes of Israel, and the Jews are just one out of the 12. And when you look at biblical history, the kingdom split between Israel and Judah, and then Judah was the right. Jews, and right. Israel was they were called the Lost Ten Tribes, you see. And there are many biblical prophecies that God talks about Israel and how God is upset with Israel. And Israel is prophesied to become the chief of the nations. They run the globe. And now, what two nations do you know of that actually run this planet right here today?
Yeah, United States and Israel.
And Britain. The British Empire and the United States. Yeah. Yeah. Well, many people don't understand that. That's who actually Israel is in this end time.
Well, to me, reading prophecy right now is like reading a newspaper, Peter. Everything I see being prophesized in Revelation, I see being played out in absolute incredible detail in our society today, how it's being set up.
Yeah, but you see, when the problem with prophecy is, like, you look at these so-called biblical scholars. And I remember once on television, somebody right up to, I think it was John Hagee, he's a televangelist in the United States, so-called prophecy scholar. And I asked him, where's the United States in Bible prophecy? And he just said, I don't know. Now, how can the greatest nation on this earth not be mentioned in prophecy?
It is.
It's mentioned more times than any other nation.
It is mentioned many, many times about the battle coming between the King of the North and the King of the South.
And exactly.
We see that being set up right now, Peter. We see the mark of the beast being set up. We see the one world government being set up. We see the Pope, who is supposed to be a religious leader, fully embracing the doctrine of the Quran and telling his followers that the Quran and the Bible are compatible, that they're basically saying the same thing. Boy, oh boy, when I seen that come out, it just really really pointed out to me where we are in the timeline of biblical prophecy.
Exactly. Yeah. But to understand Bible prophecy fully, you must understand where Israel is today. And when you understand that Israel is the United States, Britain, and I include in that Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the British Commonwealth, Bible prophecy becomes unlocked. And you can understand the biblical prophecies so easily. It is that vital key that unlocks all prophecy. And then you can understand when I said earlier that God's really upset with Israel, well, he's actually talking about us.
Interesting thought.
Yeah,
but
very
true.
Very true. So when you read many of these biblical prophecies about the wrath of God coming upon it talks about the Great Tribulation. It's a 3.5 year period. And then after that comes the coming of Christ. It's called Jacob's Trouble. And Jacob's Trouble is us, the total collapse of the Western world, of the United States, Canada, Britain, Australia, New Zealand. Many people don't understand that we are the focal point of biblical prophecy.
Interesting times we live in, Peter, to say the least, isn't it? Kind Absolutely. Of exciting. It's kind of exciting.
It is exciting, but I mean, it's going to be a very dangerous time. But it is an exciting time because in the end, Christ does finally come down. And he's coming down to save us from ourselves, really. He's coming back to save this planet. Because if Christ says that if he doesn't step in at the last moment, then all of humankind would be obliterated. And that couldn't have happened until the dawn of the nuclear age, which happened during World War II.
With nuclear insanity. That's what I call it. I call it nuclear insanity.
Exactly.
How to commit suicide. You introduce the sun onto the planet, on the surface of the planet, and tell yourself you're not going to get burned. Well, boy, I'll tell you, the only thing that's going to save this planet from total annihilation is the intervention of Jesus Christ, because we are now at a point, Peter, that nuclear power will, if we don't stop it, will extinguish all life on this planet in the near future. And I honestly believe that. So it will take a divine intervention to stop that, that we don't Absolutely. Have the control that what I see going on right now with our environment, with our species, with our mammals, it just absolutely boggles my mind. But then I take assurance in knowing that God created the planet, and mm-hmm. he's all-powerful. And he can come back here with one swipe of his arm and clean up everything that we've done in the fleeting moment of an eye. So
right.
better take solace in that, my friend.
Like if you read Matthew 24:22, Christ says, "Except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved." Now, we could have never understood those words until the dawn of the nuclear age. Now we have the capacity to obliterate 30, 40, even 50 worlds like ours with the stockpile of nuclear weapons.
Yeah, we got enough to kill ourselves 80 times over.
So exactly. So
a little overkill.
Really, the second coming of Christ is really Christ saving us from ourselves.
Well, you better come soon, because we're in a lot of trouble. And I believe he is coming soon. So there you go. How do I put this in words? I wanted to say something, but I want to make sure I say it properly. We are destroying ourselves. We know that. That we are going to extinguish ourselves off this planet. That nothing that the human race is doing right now is beneficial to the future of this planet. And that we are going to eventually commit suicide, that we will destroy ourselves. And like I said, without intervention, that will take place. I see the world right now just really going to hell in a handbasket, to put it in expression.
And what you did was just listing many, many reasons why Christ has to come. Because if he does not, we will face extinction, the whole planet.
We can't keep going the way we are. That's obvious. I mean, look at the problems we're seeing now. How many years has nuclear power been on this planet? What was introduced to the public in the 50s? So we're about 70 years into the proliferation of nuclear power. And we see what it's doing to the oceans. We see what it's doing to our environment. It's just a matter of time before it will extinguish life on this planet. But I don't believe he'll ever allow that to happen. So I take solace in that.
Right, right. And, I mean, when you look at our government, I mean, you look at just at Justin Trudeau, and you see him trying to eradicate our Christian heritage here in Canada, something that made Canada great. You see an attack on Christianity.
On all fronts.
On all fronts. Well, this is just prophecy being revealed especially when you read of the little horn. There's a prophecy, interesting prophecy in Daniel, about a little horn that persecutes the Christians. And that little horn we have identified in our studies as the Pope. Mm. And we're seeing the Pope today, like you mentioned, is trying to align itself with Islam.
Boy, oh boy. Shocking.
And Islam is persecuting Christians. And the Pope, I mean, you look at the papacy, they've had a long history of persecuting Christians. When you look at the Inquisition in mm-hmm. medieval times, mm-hmm. they have a long history. And they got so much blood on their hands. And prophecy says this last Pope is going to have millions of lives to his account.
Yep. It seems like it's kind of funny. We don't hear about child exploitation or pedophilia in the Christian yeah. churches. You just don't hear about it, Peter, because it doesn't exist. It might exist in very, very small pockets. But as a general rule, everything that we're hearing about sexual exploitation of children, trafficking, pedophilia is in the Catholic Church. You know, they were taken over by the Jesuits in the 17th century. That the Pope himself is a high-level Freemason. I think he's a 33-degree high-level Mason. If you start putting all the pieces together, you'll understand where the Catholic Church is, that the Catholic Church is not a Christian organization, that they worship and praise Lucifer in their actions. Look at the symbolism in the Notre Dame Cathedral that just burned to the ground. All we see is gargoyles, you know. Well, do you know what a gargoyle is, folks?
Well,
it doesn't belong in the church.
Exactly. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that about the real religion of the Catholic Church. When you look at Revelation, the 17th chapter, you see a woman sitting on a beast. Now, a woman in prophecy is a symbol of a church. And this woman is called a harlot, which means it's an apostate church, that it had the truth but fell away from the truth, and it took up a lot of paganism, a lot of false doctrines, and she's called Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and of course daughters came out of her in protest. This is describing the Catholic Church to a T, mm-hmm. and how it says it's drunk with the blood of the saints of Christ. I mean, it's inescapable who this woman is.
Boy, it's really, really playing itself out very, very clearly to me right now, Peter. Everything I see going on in my planet, in the world right now, when I read prophecy, which I do, there's absolutely no denying the correlation of the events described and what we see going on right now. So like I said, we're in exciting times. It's also going to be very, very terrible times for people. Because a lot of people are going to suffer, a lot of people are going to be led astray, a lot of people are going to be deceived. But that's all talked about, and there's nothing I can do about that. All we can do is talk to the people that will listen. And a lot of people are listening now, Peter, that we see chaos in our world, and it's ramping up. I've never seen the devil at work as much as I see him right now. I mean, now the Satanic Church of Christ is being or Satan is being recognized as an RRS deduction in the United States of America. I mean, that alone just kind of shocked me when I read that the other day. But nothing really shocks me anymore. I'm expecting the agenda to be really ramped up here in the next couple of years. But that's all talked about here. It is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it does say in the Bible that the devil's going to ramp up his evil because he knows he has a short time. So he knows he has just a little time left, so he's just going to go absolutely ballistic on this world. Of course, God limits him, but he's going to go ballistic on this world, and you're going to see evil on the rise. It's not going to go down. It's going to be ramped up even more to the point, as we mentioned before, where man is going to get to the point where he's going to obliterate himself, and that's when Christ steps out of the heavens, comes down, and stops it all.
I'm looking forward to that day, buddy, because what I see going on right now in my world tears me apart. The children that are suffering, it just tears me apart. It really does when this is going on in my world right now, and I know that man is given free will, that there's things that we can't stop and things that we can't control. But the fact that this is going on right now, it really hits home with me, man. It does.
Yeah. So especially have you noticed the assault on kids?
Unbelievable. These days? The indoctrination. It's just unbelievable because they're preying on the weakest point of our society. They're preying on children when they really don't have any clue of what really is going on, and they're being indoctrinated. Well, you know, if you destroy the family unit in any society, Peter, you destroy that society. Exactly. And what do we see happening? We see the outright attack on the family unit, where parents aren't allowed to be parents anymore, that kids belong to the state, that they're being indoctrinated from kindergarten right through to high school to believe a certain way. They don't really.
I mean, we had a pedophile set the education agenda here in Ontario when Kathleen Wynne was in power.
Yeah, what was his name? I got it on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but he was a pedophile.
He got charged and actually had three criminal charges go through in court, but you don't hear about that on CBC.
No, not at all.
I know he was a convicted pedophile. But then if you look at Justin Trudeau's connection to pedophilia, his connections to all these organizations where Canadians are working with children, I don't have all the information in front of me, but some of the stuff, well, it all makes sense because we see this agenda absolutely going crazy right now, that the devil is running wild. And you're right, Peter, it is talked about in the Bible that in the end times that he will have incredible power, and he wants to take as many souls as he can possibly get with him. And we all know where he's going, and his time is limited. So,
interesting. Because the Bible says that the devil is the god of this world, meaning that he's in charge of this world. He's the ruler of this world, this evil, wicked world. Now, I'm not talking about him being a creator. I mean, he is in charge of the governments, the educational systems, the economy, the militaries. He's in charge of all that. He even told Christ, he says, look at all the kingdoms of this world. It's been given to me. And he says, I'll give it to you. All you got to do is bow down and worship me.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ didn't refute that claim because he is the ruler of this wicked world. But his rulership is going to come to an end, which is the good news. But until that time, you understand why all this, you see pedophiles in government, you see the pedophiles in the education, teaching our kids, indoctrinating them, teaching five-year-olds about anal sex. I mean, what is this? Kids don't want to know about anal sex. They want to go out and play and have fun and play hockey and football and soccer, whatever.
Yeah, chase the girls. Go get snakes. Yeah, things I did growing up. I can't imagine being a child now, man.
They use an old communist tactic where they say, you get them young and you get them forever. And this is why they indoctrinate them so young. So by the time they get into college, they're fully brainwashed. You have them. They're yours. They're under your control. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could apply that statement to the big farming. I mean, you get them young and you've got them for life. I mean, I look at the amount of children that are being given Ritalin right now in the United States of America.
Right.
Well, what you're doing is creating drug addicts for life. And boy, I'll tell you, that Ritalin, I've seen personally what it's done to a member of my family. My niece is an absolute basket case at 22 years old. She's tried to commit suicide four times. She's on a permanent mental disability, can't hold down a job. But she was subjected to Ritalin for 9 years of her life. And I'll tell you, Peter, I was back in Ontario here about 10 years ago. And this was when my niece was still on Ritalin. And earlier in my life, I'm not proud of it, but I did experiment with some drugs when I was younger. And I did experiment with cocaine at one point in my life. That was a long time ago. And that was part of a growing experience for me. I look at it like that now. But I took one of these Ritalin pills that are being given to my niece. And I'll tell you, Peter, the effects that I felt a half an hour after taking that pill were identical to the effects I felt from cocaine.
Really?
Almost to the teeth. That's the same buzz that I got from that one pill. And I wanted to find out what it actually did to your body. And I did take one. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't give that to a child for any reason. But unfortunately, people are still believers in their doctors. They're still believers in the medical system. And that is a real tragedy that's going on in our society now.
Really, I mean, the psychologists, they prescribe Ritalin all the time to their patients.
Of course. Of course, they created the disease that Ritalin is supposed to treat, you know, and that was a fabricated disease. It doesn't exist in our society. If we were diagnosing ADHD 100 years ago, Einstein would have been diagnosed with it, and he would have been given Ritalin. And boy, that would have been a tragedy, wouldn't it? So I just ask people really to take a look at what they're doing to children, man, especially when it comes to giving any drug to a child. I didn't grow up with drugs being injected into my body. I didn't have that scramble in my brain that this stuff causes and what it does to long-term effects. So, you know, if you've been on Ritalin for 2 years, you won't be accepted into the U.S. military. That's really? A fact. Yeah, it's a fact. So they're not telling us stuff they know, are they? Obviously.
I remember Tom Cruise went off on one of the TV hosts there on, I think it was the Today Show, about Ritalin. Do you recall that?
No, I didn't. I actually didn't see that. What did he have to say about it?
Well, he was pretty much saying what you were saying about Ritalin and how psychologists abuse their use of Ritalin to their patients. And because I think Brooke Shields was on it, and she was addicted to it for a while, and she was trying to get off of Ritalin, and he just went off on some – I can't remember the host's name on the Today Show. And it was all over the news. And I'm not a fan of Tom Cruise, but I totally agree with what he said about Ritalin on that show. And, I salute him when he did that. And it got more people thinking twice about Ritalin after he did that show. So that was a good thing.
I'm going to go have to look that one up because I didn't
see
that.
Yeah, you'll see it on YouTube. Just put it up on YouTube. You'll see it.
I'm going to go look that up. But unfortunately, 6 million children still are on Ritalin right now in the United States of America. 6 million.
And it's an assault. There's an all-out assault on our kids, be it sexual or drugs or these idiots in power indoctrinating our kids of getting them on the socialist agenda. I mean, you go to universities today, it's absolutely ridiculous what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They're all indoctrinated with these socialist policies. And now we're seeing, especially in the United States, we're seeing socialists running for the government, like Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Cortez and other people.
Yeah.
Saying that everybody should have free health care. Well, it's going to cost about $4 trillion. Where are you going to get the money from?
Nothing's free.
But they call it free. Remember that. They always call it free, you know?
Well, of course. I mean, we see that everywhere now. We see it creeping into our society everywhere. And people are embracing it. Well, they haven't done their history. They haven't done any research into it. They're just going along with what's being indoctrinated, and of course they want to fit into the crowd. So if your buddy's going along this agenda, then you want to be involved, because if you're not, then you're the oddball. We see the pressure everywhere now, Peter, and it's just really, really getting out of control. But there's lots of pushback coming, lots.
Now there's pushback, but if a conservative was to go to a university to give a speech, well, you know, that person needs, like Ben Shapiro, needs security when he goes to a university campus to give a speech. He's got to have security around him. We all saw what happened in Berkeley when Milo Yiannopoulos wanted to give a speech. The Antifa crowd took over, and they destroyed the place.
Yep, they shut it right down.
And these are the people that say are tolerant. The liberals are the least tolerant people on the planet. They are the real fascists and not the conservatives.
Well, we don't go out and attack people violently at demonstrations, and they do all the time. And it seems like they're almost getting a free pass on it. You know?
Yeah, they're the brown shirts. They're the real brown shirts.
They are
and
brown
many
shirts.
Many people don't understand that Hitler was a national socialist. You hear Bernie Sanders say he's a democratic socialist. Well, it's the same thing. Mob rule, nationalist socialist, democratic socialist. It's the same thing.
Oh, yeah, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig, Peter.
It's still a pig.
It's still a pig.
Okay, it's still a pig. Bernie Sanders is a pig. And all these left-wing socialists, they're all pigs. They're all a bunch of fascists that want to control us, have big government, no freedom of speech, no human rights. It's all about control. It's all about money. And they are the real fascists and not the conservatives.
Where do you see us going this year in October, Peter?
Well, if Justin Trudeau keeps opening his mouth, I see him losing the election.
Well, he can't keep it shut, so that's a good thing.
But I see the conservatives winning the election, minority government. I see the PPC maybe gaining a few seats, depending which area it is. But I hope that there's a massive shift. I mean, you look at the all the provincial elections that have taken place just recently. We've had a blue wave in Canada.
Yeah, covering the whole country.
From Alberta all the way to PEI.
Yeah, and PEI, I believe, Newfoundland's going to have an election next week, and I've heard rumors they're going to go blue, too. So
right. Canadians are P. There's a blue wave going on. And that, if you want a poll, there's your poll. So I don't see Justin Trudeau winning this election. If the Conservatives had a stronger leader, more like a Maxime Bernier or a Doug Ford, they'd probably win more seats. But a lot of people are saying that Andrew Scheer is like a Trudeau light.
Well, I agree with that, Peter. I don't believe that that Andrew Scheer is the answer to our problems. We've had the same two ruling parties in Canada for the last 100 years, and nothing has changed. So to think that Andrew Scheer is the savior of Canada and going to change everything, I think you've got your head in the sand. That I believe he's just as much. He's a conservative globalist, is what he is.
Right.
And we need a change in the system before it'll really start working for people. That politicians
need a dramatic political change in this country, because the ruling two parties, they've just led us to where we are now,
and it's not going to change.
Exactly. Right? We've gone from liberal to conservative, conservative back to liberal, liberal back to conservative. I mean, what's changed, really?
The only thing that changed is their monopoly on power and the laws they've changed in the last 30, 40 years to give the prime minister's office now power that was never supposed to be in the hands of the prime minister, but now he holds. So they're setting us up for complete control of society, even though we think they're working on our behalf. They're not. That there's massive ploys going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of, or most people aren't aware of. And we see it being played out now with the conservatives, that people are going, yahoo, sure is going to save us. I hate to rain on your parade, folks, but nothing's really going to change.
Right. And, you know, the more left-leaning the government is, this is the first government right now, the Trudeau government, because he's so left-wing, even more left to the NDP, that is concerned about the media. No other government was ever concerned about the media, but this government is, because he's a socialist, and socialists, their number one priority is media.
Of course.
They need to control the media.
Of course. And they completely.
And we're moving towards a more of a North Korean style type of system, because as I keep insisting on my show, a socialist is a socialist is a socialist. The pattern's the same. Now, we're not to the point of North Korea, but we are leaning that way. And we're seeing a prime minister who wants to control the media. When has this ever happened in the Western world?
Boy, oh boy, if people can't see the fascism in our country right now, they've got their eyes closed. That we are living under a dictatorship right now. People think we're free. We're not.
No,
but we really don't have any say on what's going on behind the scenes, that this government is not acting on our behalf. We're working with the United Nations. I honestly believe that Justin Trudeau has converted to Islam. I say that because of videos that I've seen, him sitting with top-rated imams in mosques, repeating, I forget the name of the prayer. I don't have it on the tip. Yeah. Repeating that. And when you do that in front of two high-ranking imams, you are telling the world that you are converting to Islam. Yet he'll sit there and tell you that he's a Christian. Well, he's as much a Christian as my cell phone. So, look at, you know, Peter, we're down to the last couple minutes here. This hour went really quick. I've enjoyed this conversation. I want to thank you for joining me today. Do you want to plug your show one time before we have to call the week?
Okay. if people want to watch my videos on prophecy, my ministry page is BritishIsrael.ca, or you can just Google British Israel Church of God, and it'll take you to my website. My political website is just PeterSalemi.ca, and that'll give you all the links to my Facebook page, my Twitter page, and my YouTube channel as well, and you can watch the live feeds that I do every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 1 p.m. on a lot of political stuff, some of the stuff we were talking about today. And I also do live feeds on the Sabbath, because we are a Seventh-day Sabbath-keeping church. Every Sabbath on my ministry page, I do a live sermon as well that you can catch at BritishIsrael.ca.
Okay, well, thanks for joining me today, Peter. It's been an interesting conversation, and I look forward to carrying it on sometime in the future. Well, folks, that's the show for this week. I want to thank you all for joining in and letting us in here, and I'd like to thank Steve Roberts for producing my show, and People's Internet Radio and Shake and Wake for giving us this platform to share our thoughts. I'll be back next week, same time, same place, and have a great week, folks. God bless you all, and bye for now.